But again, he had compassion even on animals. And so he wanted us to be compassionate and to feel that. But it's true. The scripture stands true. He's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to them which stumble at the word. They stumble at this word. When the word is preached, they stumble at it. They can't accept it. They can't believe it. They stagger at the promises of God. And so they take, well, I'll accept a lesser promise, something easier, quote unquote. Not that it's easier. Something that's more to my liking is more like it. Because of they have this dual spirit. They want to serve God, yet they still want to live in the flesh. They still want to desire and enjoy the sinful pleasures. They want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. They don't want to totally give that stuff up. So when you tell them you got to walk in total righteousness, it's somewhat distasteful for them. I can only imagine that. Or they just think it's blasphemous because of what they've been taught. Because of the false gospel. Because of the false preachers out there. And it's not even good news. It's not even to be compared with the true gospel. They are disobedient. Verse 8, look at this. They stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. God appoints people to disobedience. As it is written in the book of Romans, chapter 9, he says, some he makes vessels of mercy, vessels of grace, vessels that he's pouring out his salvation into. Others he makes vessels of wrath, vessels that are going to die, vessels that are meant to perish, vessels that are meant to disobey, vessels that are appointed to be destroyed. As it is written in the book of the Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. God has not only predestined us to salvation, but he has predestinated the rest of the world to death. People don't want to accept that? Well, this is the scripture of truth which I am preaching to you. If he foreknew us, and he never knew the others, how is it possible that they could ever be saved? It is impossible. You can only be saved if he foreknows you. If he never knows you, it was never possible to even be saved. You know why? Because mankind is bound up in sin. We are slaves to sin. If God doesn't do something to us, not just by sending his son, but by also causing his son to be born in us by the engrafted word, by the planted word, not just by the hearing of it, but that we could receive it in faith. Because in faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There's nothing you receive as a man unto salvation which God has not given you. And even not unto salvation, everything the man has is given to them of God. Every faculty, every ability, everything is a product of our creation. But let not the clay say to the potter, why have you made me thus? You know why you don't say that? Because if he didn't make you thus, then he would have made something else. Perhaps your twin, who would be more grateful to God. He could have made your twin, who would be more grateful. Look like you, sound like you, think like you. Genetically identically to you, but a totally different conscious being. God could have made you different, sure. But it's kind of foolish to ask, isn't that? Why didn't God make the world different? Yeah, he could have made it with no evil. Then you, I, and no one I ever knew would ever exist. Because God wasn't in the business of making anything evil. God creates people for destruction. God creates people for mercy. This is the truth of the scriptures. If you cannot accept it, you stagger at the promises of God. If you cannot accept it, you are stumbling at the word of God. And you are disobedient to the word of God. And you're appointed to that. And you're getting angry and angry at my words. But you know what? This is what the word says. I could imagine someone listening to this. I'm thankful, actually, that they won't listen to it, because the thought that I would cause them such anger and get so worked up, it would be, I'd feel bad, you know. Partly. Some people I'd like to see them get a little flustered. This is the word. When you reject this verse, you're proving this verse. When you say, I can't believe that, you're showing that's how Christ is now a stone of stumbling to you. What? Because I don't believe your opinion? It's not my opinion. It's the black and white truth written on the page of the Word, which the Apostle Peter, who knew the Lord, and you don't know the Lord, he wrote. You don't know the Lord, and he don't know you. But this is the word. But ye who do hear, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now that's an allusion to the book of Hosea, where he talks about, well, in Hosea he was talking about Israel, but in a prophetic sense also of people who were not considered the people of God. Because in the Old Testament times, remember, the New Testament is like this transitional period when we go from this time where God had chosen one nation and only they could be saved. Well, if anyone wanted to be saved, they could be saved outside of Israel, but they had to become Jews. They had to be circumcised. They had to actually become part of their traditions and do everything that was according to the righteousness which is of the law. You know, they would no longer be Gentiles. Like in the New Testament, where Gentiles and Jews are now joined together in a new body under a new set of laws, under a better set of laws, a more strict set of laws, I might add. Much more strict. Like I like to say, he got rid of all the gimmies, the easy ones. You know, you tie a box on your head with scriptures in it. That's easy. I mean, really think about it. I think that's why, you know, all those just easy ones. It's just sort of like, hey, you know, like the Muslims, they got, you know, pray three times. Or with the Jews, it was, we're going to have fringes on our garments. We don't wear garments of two kinds of fabrics. We don't shave our beards. We, you know, we have this, that, the other. And in all that, they had, those are ways in which they set themselves apart from other peoples. Now, Peter was the first apostle who opened up the way for the Gentiles. And this letter being written to those strangers in Galatia, Cappadocia, you know, in all these places, he's obviously speaking to Gentile believers here. You know, he's talking to them the way Moses talked to Israel. This is very beautiful. You know, they would be considered the Israel of God, as Paul calls it. A holy nation. A peculiar people. Peculiar people.